We come now to a time of prayer, and we'll start off with our unison prayer of confession, which can be found on the bulletin or on the screen. So we'll pray this together. Lord Jesus, we are filled with gratitude toward you. Your great love made you lay down your life for our salvation. We are forever indebted to you. As we celebrate Palm Sunday, we declare you as our King, our friend, and our Savior. You are mighty to save. Hosanna in the highest. We praise that you guide and lead us as our King. Let your love fill our souls and give us peace as we hear your gospel. Amen. We now sing hymn 210.
Let us bow in prayer. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the counsel and the comfort and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as a congregation, as we have come into this day to worship you, to observe and celebrate the significance of Palm Sunday, and to consider Ryan Volkman as a candidate for the pastor of music and worship. Lord, we pray for your spirit of discernment, that we would know your will. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be together, to seek unity in the Spirit. And Lord, in that blessing, we are very mindful of what the Scriptures reveal. That we will have trouble. We will have unrest. We will face temptation. We will sin. And through your blessed love, your word tells us that we don't have to be perfect. But we are to humble ourselves and set our desire, our will aside and seek your will. And as we seek your will, you reveal to us the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That as we come before you, confessing our sin, your forgiveness is present. We thank you for that grace and those moments of mercy. When we can set our sin aside and we can be filled with joy and with hope. So we pray for the future of everyone. Everyone here, everyone connected, everyone in our state, our country, in our world. Lord, as Mackenzie goes off this week to India, Lord, we pray that she would be a torchbearer of your light and your love to the people that she will minister to in these next 2 years. Lord, we pray for her parents, Mark and Tammy, as they go down to little Seraph's today and to have lunch with their daughter. Lord, as she is sent off on Tuesday, we pray for their hearts. Lord, we pray for the ministry of this congregation, that we would continue to be community-minded. We would continue, as the message was last week, to welcome sinners, as you have welcomed each one of us. All for your glory, O Lord. All for your glory. So we pray for Ryan this morning as he preaches. We pray that as he shares the message, that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you have led him to say this day. We pray for the congregational meeting. Because we are a congregation, we pray for the input. We pray for each one here that will have a question, or will offer a comment, or will vote. In this time of worship, reveal to us in the glory of Holy Week, from Maundy Thursday to Good Friday, to the wonder, to the glorious day of Easter morning. Lord, as we pray, unite our hearts, unite our minds, as we offer the prayer of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hosanna.
This morning we hear from Mark's account of the Palm Sunday story. This is Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." This is the word of the Lord. I commented at the early service how tall this pulpit is, that I'm not used to being this high up. Usually I'm the ground level, and I can't see the back rows whether they're sleeping or not, but here I can see everyone. So I can give commands to tickle if need be. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about myself up here. That's for meet and greet and after the service. But really want to tell you about the story of Jesus. But I will share a few things about myself. Like you saw, I have two kids, Daniel and Philip, ages 8 and 4. And the primary goal I have for them as a father is that they would know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but also know that they would know Jesus as their Lord and King, and that would be evident in their lives. Right? And that's the prime goal, objective of the word, that you would know Jesus Christ as your Savior in the story, and then in life you would figure out what it means for Jesus then to be your King. Paul writes to Timothy in the letter of 1 Timothy, and he describes Jesus in that first chapter as both Savior and as King. He said Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. That's why the Father sent his Son, that he loves sinners. And Paul says, and I am the worst of them. And in our repentance and our humility, we also claim I am the worst of sinners. So if you want to know the most important thing about me, I am the worst of sinners saved by grace. The reason Jesus came was to save sinners. It's the number one thing. He is your Savior. And that's the number one goal for my family, that they would know that. But I can't preach my family into heaven. I can't save anyone. I can't even save myself. Jesus does that on the cross for us. And then Paul writes to Timothy, Jesus is also your King. He saved you, yes, but he is also your King. What kind of King? He is the King of Kings. There's no King bigger than King Jesus. And he's your personal King. He's my King. So then we have to figure out, what does that then look like in my life? That I have this King, I have this Lord over me. How should I now act? How should this church now act, knowing that truth? What does it mean for Jesus to be King for this world that's gone crazy? And if you haven't noticed, this world has gone crazy. You pick your subject, it's a mess. You pick your nation, it's a mess. You pick your leader, they're a mess. We have all these problems, and yet we have this King who's perfect and great and grand, immortal. He's Lord, and no one you've ever met in life can ever compare to him. There's no one as good as him. The world truly needs Jesus as King. They need him as Savior from their sins, but also as King. So we're here to celebrate Palm Sunday. You can find the story of Palm Sunday even starting back in the Old Testament. We heard some of familiar words in the Psalms today, this morning. You can go back to the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, and you hear of the story of Palm Sunday, hundreds of years before the Palm Sunday even takes place. And Zechariah writes, Jesus is coming majestic and on a white stallion. No, he doesn't write that. He writes, lowly on a donkey. And Zechariah 9 is just one of many references, hundreds of references of God as king, God coming as king. It's just one of many promises upon promises. And then we get to the Christmas story. I know it's the wrong season. We get to the Christmas story, and Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, your son, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesus, and he's from the line of David. Mary, the king is coming through you. The kingdom is coming. And then the gospel stories really take off, and Jesus shows up, and he starts doing miracles. And one of the most beloved miracles we know is Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just a handful of food. And the people got to feast, right? They got seconds and thirds until they were completely satisfied. And John's gospel says the crowd goes crazy that this people can feed thousands like this. And they wanted to make him king. They demanded that he would be their king. And yet Jesus dodges it. They're demanding, you be king. And you can imagine Jesus' response. Why? Because I fed you? Because you're tired of Rome? You're tired of taxes and taxes and taxes? And Jesus says, not now, not yet. And the miracles increase and they keep going, culminating in the resurrection of Jesus' dear friend, Lazarus. Again, the people goes crazy because this man was in the tomb, days in the tomb, and then he's raised to life. And this miracle sits as the backdrop of Palm Sunday. This happens right before Palm Sunday. It explains some of the excitement going on. It happens right outside the city of Jerusalem. And this excitement begins to scare the authorities, upsets them. And we see that at the end of John chapter 11. And what's happening is, with Jesus doing that miracle to Lazarus, marching into the city, flipping over the tables in the temple, it's getting the clock ticking to the end of Jesus' earthly life. The countdown has begun. So we have growing enthusiasm with the crowd, but we also have negative reaction. And it says the authorities not only want to kill Jesus, but they also want to kill Lazarus. And you feel bad for poor Lazarus, right? He just came back to life, and now they want to kill him again. And it's not Lazarus' fault. Lazarus didn't do anything, right? He was dead in the tomb, and Jesus brought him back to life. It was all Jesus. But it was Jesus working through Lazarus that caused the stir. And that's what happens when Jesus then enters your life, right? There was a complete night and day difference with Lazarus. He was dead, and now he's alive. And it's maybe not as dramatic for you, but it's the same. You were worldly, now you're not worldly. You were selfish, but now you're selfless. You were greedy, now you're sacrificial. And it should cause a stir that you are essentially a dead person come back to life. And the crowd should say, what happened to you? And like poor Lazarus, you sit back, I don't know, Jesus happened to me, and I can't always explain it. When you look at this Palm Sunday story, you can't help but be in awe of the timing of all this. This is the Sunday before Jesus' death. The Passover is about to take place. Passover is that ancient festival of remembering slaughtering the innocent lamb and putting the blood over you so that God's wrath would pass over, all hinting towards Jesus. And in preparation for this, all those sacrificial lambs had to be herded into the city. And so you can imagine Jesus is on his donkey, but there's probably also a lot of sacrificial lambs being led into the city with him. Josephus, who was a historian of this time, talked about over 260,000 lambs having to be herded into the city the week before. So you can imagine Jesus being surrounded by these lambs and he being the greatest lamb of all. It harks back to John the Baptist's words, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? John the Baptist recognized something special in Jesus, and he calls him an interesting title, Lamb, which implies it's going to be slaughtered or sacrificed. So here's a great person, but he's a lamb. Even though he's going to be sacrificed, that man is still king. That man is still in charge. This is all according to his timing. And then there's the crowds. They're shouting, Hosanna, and Hosanna just means help us, save us. They shout, blessed are you. You are from God. They're essentially saying, this is the king. You are the king. Now the palm branches kind of give away some of their motivation. You can imagine palm branches is kind of like, in their culture, waving a flag. It's very patriotic. It's nationalistic. Really, they're looking not salvation for their sins, but salvation from Rome or government, right? They want to relive the glory days of Israel, relive the glory days of King David, make it happen now. But that's not why Jesus is going into Jerusalem, and the crowds have it wrong. I really like this Palm Sunday story because each gospel writer records it and each gives different details. Luke's talks about as Jesus approaches the city, it says Jesus weeps as he sees the city. And it's a stronger word than weep. It's like wail. It's his full body reaction, the sadness, right? In Jesus' mind, you have missed the whole point. Here's the Pharisees who are trying to silence this, the Pharisees who refuse to believe it, and here's the people who are excited, but they are misunderstanding what this is all about. Jesus is a king, but he might not be the king you're expecting. And they says the disciples were confused. It takes time for this to sink in of what was happening. That's according to John's gospel. But it says in John's gospel, the disciples continued to bear witness nevertheless, right? I don't always understand Jesus completely. I don't always understand the Lord always, but I'm going to continue to confess and continue to sing that you are my Savior and you are my King and that you bring the dead to life. The other option is to chase the world and to seek the world's praise. But in John's gospel of the story, we get into the heads of the Pharisees, and even the Pharisees recognize we have gained nothing by opposing Jesus, right? It's all useless. The world has gone after him because deep down inside, the world knows that's our Savior and that's our true King. One last story. So Jesus goes into the city, and we'll hear at Easter time, he dies and rises again. He spends time with his disciples after the resurrection. And then we have the opening chapter of Acts, right before Jesus ascends into heaven. And the disciples ask, Jesus, are you going to establish this kingdom now? Like, are you going to set up your government here? Are you going to be the king we want? Can we just relax now and enjoy the fruits of this kingdom? And Jesus is thinking, probably saying, you still have this kingdom thing on your brain, this worldly idea of what it means about my kingdom. Let me give you a new desire. Let me give you a new passion in your heart instead of this kingdom idea. Let me give you the desire and passion for people. Go and make disciples of all nations. The hard work is beginning. And to make disciples of nations requires you to love your neighbor as well. So go and love the world. Go and make disciples. Go and minister to. Go and minister to the people of Archibald. Go and minister to the people who you consider your enemies. Now, I was serving in Texas, and in Texas, the arch enemy of Texas is California. So go and minister to the Californians. And in Ohio, I don't know if it's Michigan or someone pointed out it could be Wauseon. Go and minister to the people of Wauseon. Or even the people you don't think deserve it. Go and minister to people of Russia or of the Middle East or China. He's like, in fact, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit so that you can be witnesses to the world, even to your enemies. Go and minister to the Roman soldiers and to Caesar and to the Gentile world and to the people who are going to crucify you. You see, the Father loves you so much and the Son loves you so much and the Holy Spirit loves you so much that we'll give you the gifts and the time and the power, all of it, so that you can be beautiful witnesses in this world that's gone crazy. And then all we're left with is Jesus' words, follow me, for I am your King. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to save us from our sins. We thank you for sending your Son to be Lord and King over our lives. Lord, during this season especially, we ask that you would help us to remember again what it means to be forgiven of all our sins, for you to pay that debt on the cross, and that we would realize again what it means for you to be our Lord and King, what it means to follow you, what you have for us to do, to love our neighbor, to make disciples of all nations, to be lights in this world. May there be a night and day difference in our lives, that we who were once dead were brought to life by your gracious and wonderful word. We pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We had a guest sitting here in the sanctuary on Friday afternoon. And I went up to him and introduced myself. And he asked how many people are in this church to take care of this facility. He had been around the building and looked in, and I just said, congregation's faithful. Congregation provided it years ago, and the congregation ever since has not only taken care of the facility, but also provides for the ministries of the church. I was reminded of that this morning in the aspect of what God has given to us in Jesus Christ, and that as God and Jesus Christ are our King, we respond with obedience. We respond with sacrifice. And so the faithfulness of the congregation is what enables this building to be taken care of and extends the ministry of the kingdom to all. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive this morning's offering. Lord God and King, we offer not only these offerings, we offer ourselves to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, may this holy week be a blessing to all. In Christ we pray. Amen.
We continue with our closing hymn, hymn number 234, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh,
We hear a benediction from our Lord. May Jesus, the King of Kings, rule in your lives. May we echo that praise of the crowd. May that celebration live in your hearts. And may we be strengthened by what we know Jesus was marching into the city to do for the sake of your souls. Amen.
Upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns